on Ways and Means, and we'll start as a subcommittee. We can be a full committee for public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 593. Senator Charles.
Good morning.
Good morning. No, we just now started.
We're sorry. We apologize.
Good morning.
Oh, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Charles Starr, State Senator, Senate District 5, Western Washington County. Senate Bill 593 has been messed up in my folder, and I got 594 in there for some reason. Just a moment, please.
Sure.
Yes. 593 is a bill that I introduced because of what I consider one of the most pressing problems in our state and in our nation, and that is the failure of so many children who come to school prepared to participate fully in the education process in the kindergarten or first grade. And that is that they have not acquired a foundation of the English language. The phonics game is a widely advertised program that provides a game style opportunity for young children to begin to build a foundation in phonemic awareness, and it's a progressive game that allows them to start at whatever level they are at, to learn the alphabet, to learn the sounds of the letters, and begin to build vocabulary, begin to read and write, and I've seen it in use, and that bought the game years ago for my grandchildren. And when my son was home on furlough from the mission field, they took this game with them as they traveled some 10,000 miles about the country visiting supporters. Mother and son, who was then a very had just turned 5 years of age, began to play this game on the road as they traveled. And the interesting thing, when they came back 6 weeks later, this five-year-old youngster was writing the familiar rhyming words that helped them begin to be excited about the learning process. He was writing such things as at, fat, sat, cat, and beginning to put together the sounds of the language. And the fascinating thing to me was that the three-year-old brother had been listening. He'd been a participant kind of on the sidelines, and he was very eagerly acquiring the sounds of the language and demonstrating that. I believe that by providing this to the Head Start programs around the state, I believe there's some 440 identified classes of Head Start program, that these children will be excited to play the game and begin to learn and acquire the foundation that they need as they begin their journey in the education process. So I bring this bill to you with regard to the constraints of the budget, but feeling that if we're really serious about leaving no child behind, we make Head Start a real Head Start by allowing them to acquire the foundation of the English language. And so I would urge your support and passage of the funding for this Senate Bill 593.
Thank you, Charles. Questions from the committee?
Sure.
Yes, Senator Trobe.
How much does a phonics game cost?
It costs $249.95 at retail.
Excuse me, Charles. In the LFO write-up, it says $119.95 retail.
Oh, is there a write-up?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, if I could
yes,
clarify, for your information, I have distributed on this bill the staff measure summary from the Senate Committee on Education, which, as you indicated, Mr. Chair, does show $119.95 for the phonics game junior, which is just one type of phonics game. And then I also have distributed for you the fiscal from our office, and based on an inquiry to the Department of Education, I believe, those games can cost anywhere from $50 to $300, depending on what you're buying this and what the games might provide.
Thank you. Senator Trove?
I was wondering about the cost, do we have any idea of whether or not pre-kindergartens are using the game now, any of them at all using it? They have some monies, I presume, to buy supplies. And does anybody know that?
We did not have any testimony substantiating that the games had been in use or were being used anywhere. It's true the Phonics Game Junior is a part of the package of what is called the Phonics Game. There's three levels in the Phonics Game, and the total package is $249.95. My belief is that some children will be more advanced than others, and that by having the complete game, we cover all needs and allow students to advance or children to advance as they acquire knowledge. So I think it really is important to fund the full package, and that is actually three games in one, three different levels.
In the previous testimony before the substantive committee, did you have people representing pre-kindergartens there saying that they very much would like to have this provided for them? Did they testify in favor of it?
We did not have people coming forward indicating that.
Senator
Hartog, Senator Carl.
Patty Sullivan, could you come and respond to what is happening in the Portland Public School District, if anything, regarding Head Start or early? Yeah, okay. Don't know if any of those programs are using the phonics scheme.
No, I'm here on 595.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard, Mr. Chair, I've heard the game advertised on TV, but I don't know anything about the game, and so I'm just wondering whether anybody has given any kind of educational quality analysis of it in terms of I know we have some anecdotal evidence that it's successful, but and must be fun, but who from education has done any kind of analysis of it from the standpoint of it being an educational tool? Anybody? You know?
Could I?
Yes, Representative Close and then Representative Hobson.
Mr. Chair, I would just comment that I myself have used not this particular material, but I've used Sing, Spell, Read, and Write. I taught all four of my children to read using it. I think the problem is that this is largely a grassroots movement among people like homeschoolers who find these curriculum materials and use them.
Mm-hmm.
They are widely successful, but I think the institutionalized educational establishment has not largely used them or recognized them because they haven't had to.
Mm-hmm.
But I would encourage us to look very closely at this. I can guarantee you this is the breaking the code between the sound of the letter and the letter. That's okay. It's the link with the brain, and it's vital to reading.
Thank you, Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You asked for anybody with any experience,
yes,
with these, and I do have some limited. And I certainly am a supporter of phonics, and I'm familiar with a number of the games. And I guess I would respectfully say that if we had the staff and the materials to include them within a regular class, it would be a wonderful thing to do in Head Start. But a number of these kinds of games are set up and established for one-on-one instruction. And if you use it with larger groups of kids, even up to 3 and 4, it becomes problematic in that if you're dealing with 3 and 4-year-olds, you almost have to hold them by the hand and show them where to point, which animal you're pointing out to get the k sound type thing. So it doesn't work nearly as well in groups. It works very well one-on-one. And that would be the primary handicap to me as to why it wouldn't work that well in the group situation of Head Start with squirrely 3 and 4th graders where you have, or 3 and 4-year-olds,
yeah,
where you have larger numbers.
Sure. Thank you. Representative.
Well, I'm not going to comment on the what my two colleagues to the left have made. I just wanted to make a statement and to Senator Starr for bringing this forward, and he had mentioned some of the issues that were discussed was President Bush's interest in expanding the education component in Head Start and the No Child Left Behind. I'm leaving Thursday to go to the presidential briefing at the White House on No Child Left Behind, and you know, I, like you, share the interest to assure that all of our children in the state and across this country are educated, and I think we all recognize that early childhood education is a primary key to all of this. And so I just wanted to make that comment.
Good, thank you, Anita. Would you come and join Senator Starr and tell us what the department, what their ideas are or attitude towards this 593?
Good morning. For the record, I'm Anita McClanahan, Department of Education, Director of Early Childhood Programs. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you on behalf of this bill. I think the concept is noteworthy, as Representative Hobson has indicated, and others as well on the committee, and as Senator Starr has presented the concept. What we know in our Head Start programs is that many sites do have some form of phonics game that they might have on their shelf, but it's, as Senator or Representative Hobson pointed out, it typically is used on a one-on-one setting for the children, unless there are singing games and things that sometimes they use, but are not necessarily a phonics type game, that is singing, rhyming type of thing that they'll use with the children. What's most important to know about young children and their development and our high concern about their development in terms of their ability to read is that we understand how children access skills in reading, and that when we're talking about our high, Head Start children, we're talking about the poorest children in our communities and usually children that have not had access to books and access to many language things, other than dialogue, of course, with their families, and sometimes even that is at, not at a very high level. And so what's most important for us to do in the Head Start environment is to have many opportunities for children to access language, to speak, to look at books, to sit down with their teachers and in groups and do reading. And in that reading process, there is the gaming process of understanding words and sounds. And typically, they start with the things that are most known to the child. And they'll start with, for example, the child's name. And the teachers help the children understand the letters, and they point out what those letters are, and they point them out in a variety of ways in their classrooms. They point out the sounds of the letters in a fun way for very young children. We're talking about 3-year-old and 4-year-old children. Also, in our Head Start classrooms, teachers today are being far better trained in terms of how to help children acquire the foundations for reading. And they do understand that phonics is a part of that, but they also understand that it must be done in the most appropriate way for the child to truly embed that in their knowledge base. And so the concept of a phonics game is a good concept. And as I said, many of our classrooms currently do have some variety of game within their classroom, and there's so many to choose from. Many will purchase something based on their community norm and what they need within their community. So I would be happy to answer questions that you might have regarding this.
Any questions for you?
Yes, Senator Cho.
Do you know if any of these phonics games have been evaluated by competent reading specialists? And whether they recommend some over others, or is there just one game, or what? Sounds like there are different prices.
Chair Hartung and Senator Cho, there are multiple games, and there are multiple prices. I did a research on that to see what was available, went through many, many, many catalogs, and, of course, many reading programs, published reading programs that would perhaps be like the basic reading series, have games that go along with their programs, and some of them are even geared at the Head Start level or 3 and 4 year old level at the preschool level. As far as a technical evaluation of those games or the games that at least I researched, I am not aware of outside evaluations. There's evaluations done by the producers of the games. There's evaluations done by the publishers of the materials. But like an actual research study that supports a particular game, I have not seen that. There are research studies that support phonics being taught in a variety of ways. And probably some of the most impressive research is that talks about phonics being a part of an embedded process of language development and reading development for young children, that it's not an isolated skill-building thing, but rather it is taught within the context of the child's experience base.
How useful do you think it would be for us to provide a phonics game for each of the 440 Head Start programs? I don't know that we have the money to do that. That's what my understanding is. But we can require the department to provide those games. I don't know whether you have to pay for them internally then out of your own monies or what, but how valuable would that be? Would that be cost-effective, good investment of our resources?
Chair Hartung and Senator Tro, that's a difficult question. I'm concerned about the cost, because I did an estimate on what the possibility of that cost could be, and I was considering where we would find the resources to do that. If we took the resources from the Grant and Aid Project for Head Start, that would mean perhaps some direct services would not be able to be provided, even though it's only $33,000 was the maximum amount we looked at. I believe that this, in my view, is like telling programs what they would use as a part of their curriculum. And we typically do not mandate certain areas of curriculum for our programs, either in Head Start or in our K-12 system, but rather we offer programs the opportunity and the flexibility to purchase what they believe they need to make the best impact on their students. And as I have indicated already, many of our programs do have some form of phonics game that they've already purchased within their program that they believe have met the or will meet the needs of their students. So I am very much in favor of allowing flexibility at the local level in terms of curriculum area as it relates to the guidelines that they currently have to meet the federal Head Start standards.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Starr.
I appreciate very much the comments from the department. One of the problems that I have had in 10 years as an elected official here is getting any response from the State Department, from teacher training colleges, from reading specialists to understand that there is a foundation for the English language. that foundation must be laid in order for children to begin to learn. We're talking about, as just you just heard, phonics embedded in the reading program. Phonics embedded in the reading program is what we've used in the United States now going on 50 years. And 40% of third graders in America fail to read at the third grade level as a consequence of the fact that we're not laying the foundation by direct instruction, by suitable testing to understand the level of intervention that must in fact be acquired, and that we do not, are not preparing teachers to teach reading using what is now unarguably the most important way of teaching reading, and that is to lay the foundation first with an understanding of the sounds of the English language, taught by direct instruction. If this is not done, and it is not being done today, we cripple all of those children who are least able to enter our system prepared to read. This phonics game, I've been rereading some of the literature, and I'm sure what I handed out to you is incomplete, but it is six games, and it's played by children not one-on-one, but in groups. More than one child plays. It's a card game. It's supplemented by audio tapes, by videotapes, sound charts, reading selections, the phonics rules game, and a comprehension game is included when you buy the package. It's $110,000 for 440 complete games. And I believe that not all programs will use it to its fullest extent, unfortunately. But I believe because of the simplicity of the game, and that untrained teachers, parents as teachers, are doing a magnificent job of preparing children to read using this method, I think that it's a sound investment for our state. I think it will be used. I think many children's lives will be changed for the better. If we don't make this investment, we're missing a tremendous opportunity to get on the road to making sure no child is left behind.
Thank you, Senator.
So, Mr.
Yes,
Chair.
Representative.
I just want to echo that the amount that's being requested here is a very, very, very small amount in comparison to the investment. And particularly when we're talking about getting children ready for K through 12. I would also like to address, you know, most of us sit here and we talk about local control and that it evolves, and we should not be placing mandates on our local boards. I think there are times, sometimes, when it's inescapable that we have to. I think about the development of the curriculum for social studies that we were here, and we've heard of how our social history is not really taught in our schools, and that we leave those decisions up to the local communities, and when minority groups are left out of those discussions. And so sometimes this body, this state body, does have a responsibility to assure that what's being taught is within those curriculums. And we also have a responsibility to make sure that none of our children are left behind. I think had not, we'd be having a discussion about a third of our children not getting the basic foundation, we wouldn't need to talk about phonics and some of these other issues. But the fact is, we're here today because we do have children that are being left behind. And the other fact is that we have local boards and communities that are not addressing these issues. And I don't want to sit here in this chamber and skirt another session of these kinds of issues, waiting for our Department of Ed and our communities to address them. I think children's lives are too precious. If you cannot read, and we all know that, the inability to read means that you're left behind the rest of your time in school. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a really minuscule amount of dollars that we're talking about. And we all know that we need a lot of tools when we're talking about training and developing young minds and kids. And phonics is just one piece of that, those materials and those resources. And I just had to say that because it just, I hear this, I heard it last session, do not mandate anything to the local districts. Do not do this, do not do that. As though it's so sacred that we sit here afraid to really address some of the very fundamental issues when we talk about children. And I, for one, think children are far too important. And educating them is very, very important.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Trump.
I certainly wouldn't disagree with any of that. I think that's very true. I do believe, though, that this bill comes with the idea that there will be no money attached to it, so that somebody's going to have to pay for this if we're not providing the funds. And so the question is, who does pay for it? Does the Department of Education pick it up and pay for it out of the funds that we're going to appropriate to it? Or do you raise the money privately? And if so, who's responsible for raising the money? It's going to be private money that goes into doing it. Maybe the bill provides that. Do we know, Mr. Chair, how that's...
I'd like to hear from LFO their recommendations. There is several opportunities. So, Sue, as we continue the hearing portion, if there's anybody in the audience that wishes to testify on this, we are in public hearing. After Sue is done, we'll hear from you also.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, as I mentioned before, I distributed to you the fiscal impact statement from the Legislative Fiscal Office. And as you've heard, this bill isn't anticipated in either the governor's or the co-chair's budget. And as you also heard, there are approximately 440 approved pre-kindergarten classrooms in Oregon, and at a range of $50 to as much as $300 for these phonics games. The total cost could range anywhere from $22,000 to $132,000. And that doesn't take into account that there might already be some classrooms that have these instructional materials, because frankly we don't know how many do. I would also point out that there's no sunset date in the bill. So the fiscal office assumes that the responsibility of the Department of Education to provide these games would be ongoing. So to the extent that the materials wear out, become damaged or out of date or otherwise unavailable for use, the department would have an ongoing fiscal responsibility to provide the games. If you wanted to move the bill, again, there's no money in either the co-chair's or the governor's budget. So what LFO would recommend is that you delete Section 2, which is the section that would appropriate an undetermined amount of general fund. And then you could direct the department to fund the program within their existing resources. As Anita pointed out, it would come out of the grant and aid program, most likely for the Oregon pre-kindergarten program. Or you could also direct them to seek other sources of funds, such as federal funds.
Or could there be a combination, Sue?
Yes.
Mr. Chair and Representative Winters, yes, there could be.
Okay. Let's see. Need to remind me, when we talk about 440 classrooms, and that's pre-kindergarten, that includes Head Start programs also. And is that 40% of our 3 and 4 year olds, or what percentage of those children does that represent?
Chair Hartung, that represents 50% of the total eligible in the state. Actually, 60%. We're serving 60% of the total eligible 3 and 4 year olds. Those are the children eligible for Head Start.
Okay, and if Representative Winters does her job next week, we'll get some special.
I'm leaving.
So we're 100%.
I mean Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, this week.
And we want $110,000.
You want $110,000? I would talk to a secretary.
It's going to take more than that to have 100% of our eligibles is what we're after.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
A question about approved pre-kindergartens. Are we talking only about the Oregon pre-kindergarten program that is approved? Or there are lots of other pre-kindergartens that are private, religious, and so forth. What does approved pre-kindergartens mean?
Chair Hartung and Senator Tro, I interpreted that that would mean the Oregon pre-kindergarten because it's the only program that we have any authority over. We do not have authority over any of our private schools, religious or otherwise.
So that wording is sufficient.
That's correct.
Restrict it. That's what Senator Starr intended was for the. Okay.
Right. And Anita, could you give us the figure? That's a good point that Senator Tro raised. You know about the private kindergartens, or how many of our children would be outside of the Oregon-approved kindergarten programs?
Senator Hartung, I cannot give you that number of children. What our school districts tell me, though, because I've done a survey with them related to the number of children that don't come into their kindergarten systems, and it's almost every child actually has some sort of preschool experience before they're coming into the public school. So it's either a home-based preschool, a private preschool, a community preschool. And I would say that this, your question is a question that both the Oregon Department of Education and the Commission for Children and Families is concerned about. We'd like to know where the children are if they're not in one of the federal or state-funded schools. So we're going to try to do some sort of work after this session to kind of find out where the kids really are and what kinds of services they're receiving. So, but right now, I cannot give you the number.
Representative Close, I would guess if there are 10,000 homeschooled children, what, 10% of that 10,000 would be 3- and 4-year-olds, would you say? Wouldn't be that much, would it?
I wouldn't be surprised. I know I started as 4.
Yeah, I assume that most homeschooled kids are started.
That's right.
Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In response to that, I don't think that the data that's collected on homeschoolers includes 3- and 4-year-olds.
Yeah. It's only school age.
But primarily, I wanted to address the local control issue, if I might. The local school districts, and the 198 of them, don't run the Head Start programs.
Correct. But they do run approved kindergarten programs.
Right.
Correct?
Senator Hartung, we do have some of our Head Start programs are located in a school site.
Okay.
When I spoke about the local control, within the Head Start performance standards, every Head Start program has a governing body and a policy council, and the policy council made up both of parents and other members of their board do make decisions related to the curriculum needs of the program, and those curriculum concepts are developed within the program performance standards. And so when I talked about local control, typically the policy council made up of parents has a voice in the choice of materials that programs choose.
Hey, Senator Trove.
Just another question about the phonics games themselves. Are there phonics games that are geared for this age group, 3- and 4-year-olds? I would think phonics games would be kindergarten, first, second, third grade kind of things, but maybe not.
Senator Hartung and Senator Tro, as Senator Starr pointed out, there are games that are geared for very young children, but each child within their own development can interact with that game in a different kind of way. And what is very important is that what is chosen is appropriate for the age of the child. As Senator Starr pointed out, some of the games that he mentioned or the components of the games that he mentioned would definitely need adult assistance at least for a while because young children of 3 and 4, typically they're non-readers, and so they need to learn many things about playing in a group and different things like that. So there are some that would be the singing games most appropriately are geared for young children.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative.
I'd just like to add to that one of the portions of the one I use is also a bingo type game. Mm-hmm. So it's, though you do have the teacher reading off the letter, it's audio. They're using their hearing.
I was just thinking, as Senator Tro asked that question, I know in the Beaverton School District, why we have a lot of children that read at third or fifth grade level, and we also have a fair number of children that don't read at the 6th and 7th grade, and I would assume there'd be phonics games that would be appropriate for an older student in addition to the 3- and 4-year-old. But members will continue this public hearing, but what I would like to do, as LFO suggested, is take out Section 2 and make it so that...
Are we in work session or here?
No, I was just suggesting, but and hopefully this will send a message to the people who wish to testify to what I would like to. That doesn't mean we're going to do it, but we're still in public hearing, and make it possible for this to be funded out of the department's grant and aid, and if we want to do that, it can be put in the add back list, and also make it possible for them to receive grants and gifts from someone else. So anyway, I'd like to continue the public hearing now. Is there anyone in the audience who hasn't testified that would like to hear? Yes, Beth. Thank you, Charles.
Chair Hartung, members of the committee, I'll keep my comments brief. I'm Beth Ann Darby with the Oregon Education Association, and I guess what I would like to say is more in the way of comments than a position on the bill. OEA does not generally support curriculum mandates. This is obviously a game that could be used in conjunction with other strategies for reading. Our concerns probably would go around, we would ask questions about how these games would be chosen. We've heard testimony that there are games at $50 and $300. Obviously, they would have different goals and be acceptable to different teachers. And we would ask questions about developing, how the strategy would be developed to choose which games. We also have concerns about the Department of Education and their ability to do further research on different policy issues, as well as support our pre-kindergarten programs, and would be concerned about taking away from that ability during these tight budget times. And with that, I will be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Beth Ann. Any questions for Beth Ann? No? Okay, thank you. Anyone else that would like to testify on Senate Bill 593? If not, I'll close the public hearing and open the work session, and I would accept a motion based on LFO's recommendation.
I so move.
Representative Winters has moved.
Are we recommending the amendment of the Section 2? Is that what we're doing?
Say it again.
Are we? Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members, what I recommended, since there is no general fund specifically earmarked for this bill, is that you take out Section 2. And Senator Hartung, you mentioned allowing the department to receive gifts, grants, and donations for this program. There is some fairly standard language that we can have legislative council draft to that effect and put in this bill that recognizes that the department could have that ability to accept those funds for this purpose. And what you could also do when you are considering Senate Bill 5512, which is the Department of Education's grant and aid program, is you could have language in the budget report that references this bill and that you would like to have the department either fund the program within existing resources for the Oregon pre-kindergarten program or to seek out other sources of funds, such as federal funds that may become available to implement this legislation. And then finally, you could put it on your add back list.
Okay. Everyone understand the motion? Is there any objection to the amendments? And these are, I guess we'd have to say, the conceptual.
Right.
Well, we have to come back in the work session again. Can we, number one, adopt these amendments and then
yes,
pass the bill if we choose to?
Yes, Mr. Chair, you can do that. And then the amendments, the printed amendments, would be available at the full Ways and Means Committee.
Is there any objection to what you've heard? Seeing none?
Wait a minute. I haven't decided yet. Well, okay. The motion is accept the whole bill and take out Section 2 and then suggest to them, to the department, that it find its, is there going to be language in the bill that we're going to amend that will say this, that they find the money either in grant and aids or seek federal funds or something like that, or a combination of those things? Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, right, we would take out Section 2, insert a section that would allow the department to receive gifts, grants, and donations for the purposes of implementing this legislation, And then the direction to the department to the extent that they can't get gifts, grants, and donations to cover the program, the direction to the department in their budget report for Senate Bill 5512 would have them either fund this program out of their existing Oregon pre-kindergarten program appropriation and or seek federal funds to cover the cost of the legislation.
Mr. Chair, I'm not enthusiastic about this bill, but I will give you a courtesy vote to move it along if you want that.
Yes, I do. I appreciate that.
But I may vote against it in the full committee.
I understand.
Probably on the floor.
I understand. Any other yes, Representative Hall.
Mr. Chair, are we voting on the amendments or are we voting on the total bill?
Well, we're voting on the amendments and then to pass it out to the full committee.
Right. Why don't we do the amendments first
sure.
and then the
bill? All right.
Okay, Representative Winters moves that we delete Section 2 and we amend Section 2 by adding a provision that allows to receive grants, gifts, federal funds, or allow the department to use grant and aid dollars.
Is there further discussion on the amendments? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Winters moves the amended Senate Bill 593 to the full Ways and Means Committee. Is there any objection? Representative Hobson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be voting against this, and I realize it isn't a huge amount of money. It's primarily on principle, and I very much support these games. I think they do a lot of good when they're used under the right circumstances, but I don't think they're necessarily the answer to all of our reading problems. We don't have any information that the schools want them. The Head Start schools are the ones there. And my feeling is if they wanted them, they would get them. And if they wanted them, they will use them. And I would bet my last dollar, which isn't that much, that if this is done, 50% of them will be sitting on a shelf someplace because nobody chooses to use them. And I think that is just not good policy. So I'll be voting no.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm giving you a courtesy vote,
yes,
but I agree with Representative Hobson.
All right. Any other comments? Any other objection? Let the record show that Representative Hobson votes no, and so Senate Bill 593, as amended, will be passed out to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Winters, would you carry that?
I certainly will.
We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 593 and open up the public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 595 and start with Senator Starr, 595. Senator Starr again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Charles Starr, State Senator from Senate District 5, Western Washington County. The A and Grow Senate Bill 595 provides a pilot program on elementary school reading instruction. Again, it is a plan to incorporate a phonics reading program, and it's intended that this program be instituted in the Portland Public Schools, and that it will address the issue of beginning reading instruction in the 10 crisis schools in the Portland School District. These are the schools that are identified as not meeting the instructional needs of all students as indicated by the test scores. And I believe that the way this is envisioned is that we would prepare teachers in the first year of the program to implement a phonics program using teachers from within the district or what other resources there might be selected to prepare these teachers to teach phonics in a manner that those children who are now being left behind would have the opportunity to acquire the language, be readers in kindergarten and first grade, and be prepared then to advance in their school. It's a program that would allow us to assess the value of phonics taught by direct instruction and to see, in fact, whether this is what the research shows it to be, and that is the best way to prepare children for reading and success in learning. And I would be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator. Questions for Senator Starr?
Representative
Winters?
I sit here and thought these are our feeder schools that we always talk about, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that Senator Gordley voted in support of this bill, because I know that she's very, very concerned about the number of schools in her district that are schools that Senator Hartung and I, both sitting up here, have had some great, great concerns about. And I know there's probably no one here from the school district, but, yes, she's here.
Yes.
They support this bill.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Patricia O'Sullivan, Portland Public Schools, and let me give you just a little bit
of... Excuse me, I should call you Patricia instead of Patty.
Oh, that's just my formal name. Now, okay. Patty O, actually, is
Patty,
what everybody calls
that. Okay.
It's an Irish thing.
Yeah.
A little bit of history behind this bill is that the original bill that came out, we were not supportive of. It mandated certain things and we're never in favor of that. But Senator Starr was gracious enough to let Cindy Hunt from Legislative Council and I give it a shot and try to get the bill somewhere where we're supportive of it. I sent it back to the district, talked to our reading curriculum folks, talked to Pat Burke, and the bill is now in a state that we are supportive of it if funded. What it would do is develop a pilot program. We currently have three schools that do use explicit phonics. That does not mean that's all they use. That's a type of a phonics curriculum that is then integrated into other reading methods. And individually by the child, you use which method works best for the child. That's the only way to do reading programs. You can't just have one kind. Senator Starr understands that. He also understands that there's a way to teach phonics that you need to be trained. So what this pilot program would do in the first year would be to take those teachers in the three schools that currently are teaching this method and give them some...
Which three schools are teaching that method?
Actually, Senator, I don't have my file with me because it's just kind of popped up, so I haven't been back to the district for a while. There's,
is it in the report?
Is it in there?
It's in the... Yours.
The LFO. Three targets.
Oh, LFOs?
You have the names of the schools already mentioned?
Yeah, Boise Elliott, Vernon, and Ockley Green.
Okay. We would take the teachers already teaching it from those schools and give them some advanced training, and then they would become sort of teacher mentors to other schools, other focus schools, that would then start using this curriculum and integrate it into their other reading methods. The things we like about the bill... Well, we like the bill in general, but the things that we do like about it is that it is flexible. It allows the school district to decide how to integrate this reading program into their other curriculum that's decided every couple of years, so we have to be able to integrate it in. And in years two and three of the pilot program, they would actually start teaching explicit phonics in these schools. The other thing that's flexible is picking the schools, and I've had a couple of conversations with Senator Gordley, and we're going to primarily try to focus on the crisis schools, although all the schools may not be crisis schools because there are other low-income schools in Portland that aren't the designated crisis schools, but we're going to try to primarily focus on crisis schools. So that's a good thing. The grant dollars just flow through to the Department of Ed, so I'm assuming, that there would not be any administrative hit at the department level, so it would go to the ground level and be used for the kids. We're the ones...
I think not for...
You said that, Representative, not me. since there's no work at the department level to do, then I would hope that that would be kept to a minimum. So it would get out to the kids, which is a good thing. We don't have to use a specific program. We've already, obviously, when legislation like this floats around, we are reading curriculum people get contacted by specific curriculum people that are selling their curriculum, and this piece of legislation doesn't say we have to do that, so we're going to pick out what's best for the schools involved. Our reading specialists will. It does focus on low-income schools, and it does also, another thing that it will do is move right into the QEM, because the quality education model now is focusing on reading in the lower grades, and this fits very nicely into that. So it's sort of a win-win. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Sure. Questions? Yes, Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to Senator Starr or you, Patty. Am I understanding correctly that there is not the mandate that the specific program Success for All be used?
Chair Hartung, Representative Hobson, that's true. There is no mandate for any specific program. And this is it's left to the discretion of the district. It does suggest explicit phonics, and there are many, many successful programs out there. And I would hope that they'd choose wisely, as indicated, that they would find that which best fits the needs of the district.
Follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does that mean in actuality that the Portland School District then has kind of a free rein to pick whatever reading program process package that they want?
That was my understanding as the bill was drafted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very fascinating bill. I support it. I'd like to ask Senator Starr, it says that there'll be a report from each school district participating to the legislative committees on education. Is there a plan to do a certain type of testing to document if there's been progress? Has that part of it been thought through?
Well, certainly we would expect testing and student performance to be a part of the report to the legislature. It's not specified, gives the district and because of the way the bill is designed, it only affects one school district, and that's Portland School District. But yes, I think it's important that we acquire the information at the legislative level as to how this is implemented, how effective it is, and so that in future legislators will have an opportunity then to look back and see what we've accomplished.
Follow up, please.
Yes.
Could I ask Patty?
Yes.
How do you see this evolving? How would you come back to the legislature?
We've talked about it a bit at the district level, although I'm mostly here. I do talk to my folks back home. And the bill calls for two reporting mechanisms. One is after the first year. Now, the teacher training will go on the first year. At the end of that first year, we'll have developed the program and the assessment of the program. So we'll come back to an interim committee, talk about how it's going, also talk about how we intend to assess whether this is successful. We just talked very briefly about kind of before and after testing and using some classrooms that this will be in the pilot versus other classrooms with the same type of demographics that aren't using explicit phonics, and to see if there is a difference or not. At the end of those 2 years, you'll have had 2 years of the same kids, I would assume, that have had it, and then we'll see if it really does matter. I mean, at least you'll see then, does it matter or doesn't it matter? There's a lot of experts willing to say it does and some that say it doesn't, so I guess we'll see sort of at the ground level. And we have enough classrooms that are similar in demographics that this money obviously won't hit our whole school district. We have 55,000 kids, so we will be able to pick classrooms that don't use explicit phonics and those that do. Thank you.
Representative Schrader and then Representative Hobson.
Concern I have, I like phonics. I think it does seem to work. But I have a concern why Portland has a lot of resources compared to any other school district in the state of Oregon at its disposal. And it seems unfair to me that we have a pilot program for the wealthiest school district in the state of Oregon. The other thing I point out is that the governor is already recommending in his budget that we have a mentor program. Maybe a better way to get at this would be to put some direction into mentor program that's going to be hopefully funded with federal dollars that, you know, they use or look at, you know, the phonics mentor portion of this as part of that program. I think that would be non-duplicative, because otherwise you have the governor's mentor program, we have this mentor program. So those are my concerns, and maybe a way of addressing that, too.
Representative, this is Senator Starr's bill. We didn't ask for this bill, but I will first of all talk a bit about the mentoring. My understanding about the governor's mentoring is that that's new teachers and veteran teachers, a little bit different. This could be a veteran teacher that's never taught explicit phonics. This veteran teacher might actually be a mentor to new teachers, so it's a little bit different. And I don't think that they've built that into that program, and I don't know that they should, because we really have a need for new teachers coming into the system to be mentored by veteran teachers, and that's sort of a different issue. As for us being the richest school district, it doesn't feel like that when you're cutting $20 million, so it doesn't feel very rich at all.
We'll have that discussion another time.
Different discussion.
Okay. Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is for Sue, if I might,
sure,
to make sure my mathematics is correct. Are we looking at close to $500,000 here?
Yes, let's hear from LFO and recommendations. Now we're still in public hearing.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hobson, our fiscal impact statement, which I distributed to the members of the subcommittee, doesn't really put a dollar amount on this program. Should be the fiscal impact statement for Senate Bill 595A and gross. Should have that in front of you. It talks about the federal programs that have been around, like the Goals 2000 program and Reading Excellence, although those are expiring. It talks about the grants under the Comprehensive School Reform Demonstration Program, which is approximately $75,000 per year to the three schools for 3 years. I don't see $500,000 in there.
Solve this. I might.
Excuse me?
Could I ask a follow-up on this?
Certainly.
I'm a little confused on the $75,000. My math was wrong. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, no.
So is it $225,000 per school times three, because there's three schools, so it's actually more than $500,000. It's closer to $750,000.
Excuse me, if I could interject, that's the fiscal impact on the original bill. This is a completely different bill.
Oh.
The original bill called for explicit phonics to be used in three elementary schools, in those schools, the entire school of first through fifth grade, and that is not what this pilot program will be. I'll tell you what our Pat Burke told me as an estimate. $10,000 for each school, which would not include the whole school, but would include certain classrooms within that school. And that would include planning time, consultants for the curriculum, substitute time for the teachers that are getting training, and materials. So they figured $10,000, if you want the 10 crisis schools, or you want five schools, or whatever you want, but it would not include, I want to make it really clear, would not include every classroom in every school. $10,000 would not go very far, but it would get you a couple classrooms in the 10 crisis schools to go forward. So our with the substitute time and the advanced training, we figured the fiscal to be $150,000.
Thank you. Representative Hobson, follow up? Or?
Per year.
No, 3 years.
For the pilot program.
For the 2 years.
2 years.
Some the first year for the training, and then you would get the materials and the curriculum would be implemented.
Okay, any other questions? Sure. Let's see, Sue, we really haven't heard from LFO.
I'd like to say something.
Certainly.
Would you?
the way the bill is worded, you get the idea that it's almost, it's required of the Portland School District, but it's optional for other districts. The way the bill is worded, looks like it is. If it's optional, then other districts might participate in the pilot program as well as the Portland School District and these three schools. In the first section, subsection 1 of section 1, just says this pilot program is going to be established, doesn't say who gets to be in it. In sub 2, it says each school district with 50,000, that's Portland, but then it says a school district board of a participating school district shall select, as though other districts might participate as well. So is it worded well enough to be restrictive just to Portland?
I believe that it is. That's very definitive when you say 50,000.
Well, it's clear that Portland takes part, but does it keep others from being part of? If a school board in Corvallis, Oregon, wants to take part in this program, we got a low-income school. Can it do it if it wants to?
Not under the mechanism of the bill, I don't believe.
I think so? Okay. Well, I'm not sure the language is good enough to prohibit that, but if that's the intention, I think that we need to know that. Okay. So the intention is it's just Portland, nobody else. Okay. And it's the schools that they've mentioned in Portland.
That's right.
Will take part in the program. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I might mention that there is a House bill recommending 30 pilot programs. To be administered by the University of Oregon's reading program folks, and that bill has been sent to Ways and Means.
So there's another pilot program for
and that's explicit, though, to the reading program that is developed by, and it includes the testing portion, the Dibbles test and so on, the assessment portion. That bill has been referred to Ways and Means. $500,000, part of which goes to the University of Oregon for administration of the program and the other to the districts who would be implementing the program. And that's on
a lot of the cost of this is going to be in training the teachers and how to do this?
A lot of the cost would be in training teachers and paying for substitutes. As it's rolled out, the instructional materials then for the classrooms would also be in.
Would be
in
part of the cost.
Yeah. Part of the cost.
Okay. To what extent aren't these school districts already doing? I would be surprised that school districts where you have a lot of low-income students aren't already using phonics in that integrated method of teaching reading. For heaven's sakes, that's one of the tools. I know at least years ago when I took a course in psychology of reading as an undergraduate, it's been a long time ago, they talked about phonics as being important and other methods as well, and some work for some kids and others work for other kids. And in a low-income situation, I would presume more kids would measure up for the phonics method than the other methods. But my guess is that good teachers in reading already do that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Troll, it's really interesting. I've done some 6 years of study into the issue, and it wasn't until this year that I uncovered what I believe is the root of the problem. Since 1962, the State Department of Education has had as a part of the textbook adoption program what they call a basal requirement. They interpret that to mean that it's a system that's integrated kindergarten through high school. That means that only then those publishers who have a K-12 program are eligible for competing for textbook adoption. None of them are printing, publishing, providing a explicit phonics program. Not one of them. Further, I've found that the state teacher training colleges in our state have no instruction, no preparation for beginning reading teachers in explicit phonics. 17 out of 17, no requirement. TSPC has no requirement in teacher standards for the understanding and the teaching of explicit phonics by direct instruction. Now, that has evolved over 40 years, and we now read at the lowest level of comprehension that our nation has ever experienced in its history. It's sad to say, but even though it's recognized and generally accepted that explicit phonics by direct instruction is the foundational tool for children to learn to read, not being used extensively. And I too think it's really important that we have some local control, but it's important that we experience what the research has shown us that is the most effective way to teach reading.
Mr. Chair, I just can't believe that schools of education and the TSPC and all of these groups and teachers who are trained and want to teach their kids to read wouldn't want to use the best methods. And if the explicit method is the best, those people would know it, and they would be using it. It seems to me that that's the case. Are you saying there's some reason why they won't use it?
Mr. Chair,
can I make a comment?
Certainly. Representative Close.
What I have found in my district, and I believe this is statewide, when I've questioned, and this was a elementary principal who told me, she said, what we teach the children is when they come to a word they cannot get, they are to skip that word and to go on. What phonics does is say you are to stop and sound out that word phonetically and then go on. That's a major difference. And I just believe that it isn't that teachers don't want to teach, it's that they have been told that this is the way they are to teach, at least in my district. That is true.
Senator Trow, when we met in the interim on the leadership summit to address and to deal with some of these issues, the issue that there is no requirement by TSCP is valid. When we looked at what teachers are being taught, that's valid. It was almost like we were all sitting there saying what we have has had this tremendous disconnect. And through the discussions and all discussions that we have evolved as a mission and a public policy statement from all of us, if you will, that we had to make reading the centerpiece of education and the gateway to learning.
I all agree with that.
Yes, but recognizing that we had not over the years, that there were problems in TSCP in their requirements, there were problems in our colleges and the training, you know, that these problems exist, and that's going to take a while to work on all of these issues, talking about a small piece here, but that there are huge pieces that we need to begin to look at to address, and that's not to say that one method is better over any method, but that somehow we've left these pieces behind.
Could be. I really don't know. And maybe we need to emphasize phonics more than we are emphasizing it. I'm not sure that I agree with Charles that reading is at the worst state it's ever been. Maybe that's true, but my guess is that with what we've done with the public schools since we've integrated public schools and brought in a lot more people into the public schools is that we have a little different group of people to measure. So yes, we have a lot of reading problems, no question about that. But my guess is that teachers are doing a good job of teaching most kids to read and that they're reading pretty darn well. Maybe wrong. But I know we don't do well enough. We need to improve it. Maybe this is a way to do it. I'm not sure.
Senator Starr?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to share a few statistics with you that was shared with legislators prior to session. Some of you may have been there. Katie Haycock was here and made a presentation. Her presentation indicated that the 17-year-old white, or excuse me, put it the other way, 17-year-old black and Hispanic students were reading at the same level as 13-year-old white students. Indicated that they were doing math at the same level. That when you got to college, four-year colleges, 29% of all entering freshmen, these are college-bound students, 29% of all students entering college required remediation in reading, writing, or math. The disturbing thing to me is that we would send our best, our brightest off to college, unprepared, to enter college. Minority colleges, those colleges that have the highest percentage, 49% of those requiring remediation. But at graduation, this is the most disturbing to me of all. At graduation, from four-year colleges in America today, 30% of the college graduates read at the seventh grade level. Further, she indicated that at the present time in America, 50% of the adult population do not read well enough to understand a proposition on the ballot. Now, if a foreign country had done to us what we have done to ourselves by failure to teach, we would be at war. We must do a better job. Now, in 1999, in January, we got a report signed on to by 11 of the major education organizations in America, including college professors and all. The first paragraph in summary said, the number one problem in American education is a failure to read. And then the second paragraph said, the answer to that problem is explicit phonics. Now, this report was prepared by reading professionals surveying over 1,100 studies, and they came up with the understanding that without the explicit phonics, which by and large is not taught by direct instruction except in a few schools here and there, it's just not being used in America and has not been for almost 50 years. Now, we must get at the problem, and I don't know any better place to start than with a pilot program in which we look at how well this will work for the most needy children in our society. And that's why I proposed the bill, and I proposed it for Portland Public Schools, and I want to be around to follow up to see that it's implemented and we evaluate it and get that information broadcast as widely as we can. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Now, members, what I'd like to do is some excellent points have been raised and reminded me that Representative Close and I met with Katie Haycox at that conference at Stanford University, and it just blew me away the things that I heard about. And also I'm concerned about what Representative Schrader says about some duplicity in what the governor proposes, and I would like to hear what...
You're not accusing the governor of duplicity, are you?
Duplicative. Yeah, that's that, right.
There's a difference between the
Governors. Right. I was trying to develop a strategy here.
You need to do it. Do those words phonetically.
Yes, that's right. You can tell that my phonetics are not too good. But so what I'd like to do is hold on to this bill for a few days, and if you'd report back to us, and who would be the appropriate LFO or Department of Education to Senator Starr's bill and the House bill, if you say, has 30 pilot programs, and how it might complement what the governor's programs have. You do that or the department?
Mr. Chair, I'll coordinate that, and we'll have people in to talk about
that. Is there any other question or comments about Senate Bill 595? Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to know how much it's going to cost, and I'm still confused on that.
Yeah. All right, we'll get that back then also.
Two or two.
Any other questions or comments? If not, we are adjourned. And we are meeting tomorrow. Is said on the Human Services meeting tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
Sue?
We just had...